Kitty Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. Today, we're speaking with Deb Barnes. Deb resides in South Florida with her fiancé and feline family of seven. She's the author of the three-time award-winning book, Makin' Biscuits, Weird Cat Habits and the Even Weirder Habits of the Humans Who Love Them, as well as Purr Prince of the Heart, A Cat's Tale of Life, Death, and Beyond, and the Chronicles of Zee and Zoe, A Journey of the Extraordinarily Ordinary. She is also the creator of the award-winning blog, Zee and Zoe's Cat Chronicles, that not only follows the journey of her relationship with her cats, but covers topics on cat welfare, including the importance of spay-neuter, the feline-human bond, and more. She's president of the Cat Writers Association and is the secretary of the nonprofit Positively Humane Incorporated of Miami, Florida, whose mission is to create public awareness and reduce the numbers of animals on the streets and in shelters through an extensive educational campaign. Deb, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you, Stacey. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
Wow, you have a feline family of seven. So going back, how did you become so passionate about cats?
It started when I was a little girl. I've always been a very shy person. So books and cats have kind of been my mainstay. They kind of helped me find my voice. And cats are always non-judgmental and just, you know, they give you unconditional love. So that's kind of what I needed, and I've carried that with me through the rest of my life. So I've always had cats.
Did your family as a child let you have many cats or one or two cat person at a time for a while?
We don't like to hear this, but, you know, way back when there was a time when we didn't know what we know about cats as we do today. We didn't know about cat overpopulation and spay neuter and TNR and things like that. So, you know, I did have several litters of kittens, so there was always a lot of cats in my house.
So over time, I'll share one of my deepest and darkest secrets that many people don't know about me.
Oh.
But over the years, with running the shelter and fostering many cats and having many cats, near the time when I started getting ready to leave the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society, I really developed an aversion to cleaning litter boxes. For some reason, that became this huge obstacle with me. So sounds like you must be a pro dealing with lots and lots of litter boxes. And I never thought something so simple would be become something so hard for me to deal with, but I really didn't like doing it.
Yeah, it's a glamorous life, that of a cat lover.
So I guess I have a disease called litter box aversion, I guess. So I've so named it.
I'm very obsessively compulsive. They go, I scoop. They see me scoop, then they go, and then I scoop. And it's all day long.
It's that vicious cycle. I just have one cat now, but it's the same routine. We play that same game. So it's very, very funny. So you became a writer and you started writing early on about cats? Or was that something that also sort of developed over time?
It actually was somewhat accidental. I've always loved writing. I've always been creative. I've always wanted to write, but never really thought it would happen. But back in 2008, when the economy was very, very bad, my fiance and I were laid off at the same time, same company, and we were living together at the time. So it was devastating. We went home jobless and not having the education that I do now. I had a cat who was in the process of having kittens. And when the kittens were born, I started to learn from them. You know, again, this unemployment and finding a job. I was 48 years old, was very difficult. And I was going through a very dark period trying to find this job. So I started to pay attention to these kittens growing up around me and the mom and dad cat who were raising them. I learned to appreciate the small gifts around me, and that's how the title, The Chronicles of Zee and Zoe, The Journey of the Extraordinarily Ordinary, it was about finding the extraordinary in ordinary moments, and because of that, they brought me to another phase of my life, which was, if you're going to write a book and sell a book, you need to have a blog. And if you have a blog, all of a sudden you're meeting other people and you're becoming involved in other activities. I began to learn about cat overpopulation, the importance of spay neuter, the fact that I didn't have to wait to have my Zoe spayed at a year old, that cats actually should be, or females should be spayed between 8 and 12 weeks. So all of the cats just snowballed into me becoming a massive educator and advocate and learning about TNR and learning about community cats and learning about spay neuter.
In your blog, do you cover these topics?
Absolutely. The first cat writers conference I ever went to, I met Susan Logan of Cat Fancy magazine, and she was very honest with me, and she said, "Deb, you do know the first book you wrote is about two cats having kittens." And she said, "That's not really a good subject." And I said, "Oh, gosh." And I didn't realize it at the time. You know, now I do. And I apologize. I shouldn't say that what I did was wrong. I love my cats, and, you know, they've since been spayed neutered. But back then, I didn't realize I was walking into a firestorm. And she said, "You know what? You're going to learn from this." And she offered me my first paid writing gig with Cat Fancy magazine. And my first article was on the importance of early spay neuter. And that, again, brought me into so many other open doors, so that I was writing about that consistently on Z and Zoe's blog. You know, again, using my own life as a vehicle to educate others is what I wanted to do.
That's really good news. And then over time, as you continued writing, working on these books, how did you get introduced to the Cat Writers Association?
When I went to my first blog pause conference, several of these bloggers that I was starting to meet through blogging, when you visit blogs, you start to comment and you start to learn about each other and you start to become friendly through the internet. And I soon found out that there was actually communities where you could meet in person. And so blog pause was one of those communities where I got to meet some of my blogging friends in person. And they recommended to me that I join something called the Cat Writers Association, which I had not heard of. So I thought, gosh, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So I went to my first cat writing conference in 2011 and felt completely over my head, just overwhelmed. Yeah, so much talent. I mean, best-selling authors and people with names that I had put on a pedestal, and I couldn't believe I was there. But really, we all have one thing in common. We're passionate about cats. We're passionate about cat welfare, and we're passionate about educating people and making cats' lives better. So ultimately, that put me at ease, and I realized, you know what, I do belong here, and I can be a part of this.
Can you tell me specifically what the Cat Writers Association is all about?
Sure. It was founded in 1992, and back then, there really wasn't a lot of information about cats in mainstream, mostly dogs. And Amy Sajai was the co-founder, and she said, you know, I think that there is a market for this. People want to learn more about cats. And as writers and journalists, we owe it to cats to improve their well-being by producing well-documented and well-written information. And that's kind of how it started. Cat Fancy magazine, I think, became the first official sponsor along with Purina, and it just kind of evolved from there. Every year, a conference was put together with speakers and educational sessions, and as the years went on, the organization has evolved with the world that we live in. So it's not actually just cat writers. It's photographers and artists and journalists and illustrators, and now, today, of course, podcasts and social media. And I mean, really, probably as we're speaking, a whole brand new thing is developing around us that we'll be delving into in the days to come. So it's ever changing and ever evolving.
Well, and I want to thank you so much. The Cat Writers Association acknowledged the Community Cats podcast at their annual dinner and their conference back in May. And I want to thank you again for doing that and appreciate it and really proud to have been acknowledged that way.
It's a rigorous process. And when we have our awards banquet every year, it really is the best of the best. And, you know, there's a strict criteria as to who actually wins certificates and awards. So congratulations to you.
Thanks. Are you struggling to increase positive outcomes in your shelter? Are you overwhelmed with high stray intake and low owner reclaim? Do you wish you had solutions to your biggest problems? The Path Ahead provides in-person and remote consulting for animal welfare organizations. Let us help you to increase life-saving by engaging your community and maintaining the human-animal bond. The Path Ahead teaches proven best practices for humane, effective animal welfare, including community cat management, missing pet prevention and recovery, and progressive adoptions. By identifying and addressing outdated and unproductive practices, you can reduce intake and length of stay and keep animals in their loving homes where they belong. Leave the past behind and take the path ahead to success. Visit our website at www.animalwelfaresuccess.com. One other question I have for you with regards to the Cat Writers Association or just bloggers or cat writers in general. Coming from a rescue or a shelter, many of us are overwhelmed. We work so hard. Every day is a story. That was one of my greatest challenges, being out in the field. There was always a cat or kittens or a person. There was some story that I always wanted to share, you know, with our supporters, with our community, as an educational component. Is there a way for cat writers as well as organizations to work together? I mean, you're on the board of a group called Positively Humane, so it sounds like maybe you're able to do some bridging that way. Is that common practice with most of the cat writers that you know of?
We have several different niches within cat writing, but a large percentage of us actually do write with rescue and advocacy in mind. So it does work hand in hand. There are certain tips and tricks, I guess, to the trade that we're trying to educate on. For example, using high quality photos and very brief but compelling copy tends to work with an audience as far as getting a cat rescued, more so than a very sad Sarah McLachlan, you know, this cat's going to die in 5 minutes if you don't adopt it. So we're teaching rescues how to make better use of words that they use and to understand that telling a story actually can help adopt a cat. People gravitate towards that, and feel-good stories, or even cats with disabilities or senior cats. We want to educate on the wonders of senior cats. Just because a cat's older doesn't mean it shouldn't have a loving home. And we can use our writing, as you well know, to educate people that more times than not, cats with disabilities and black cats and senior cats are overlooked in adoption when really they shouldn't be.
You mentioned sort of tips and tricks, and you talked about photo quality. Any other tips for organizations? I know people cringe if they see typos and try and rush things. Are you more of the like less is best, or what sort of tips would you give a small group in terms of their writing? There's the website, there's the social media, then there's the story to the newspaper, there's the press release. How do we prioritize all of this?
Yeah, well, you're right. There's different layers to it. So for social media, clearly less is best, and a high quality photo is going to go a lot further than a blurry, dark photo that you grainy. That's not going to work. You really should try to avoid that. But there are certain software programs now where you can take photos and put them very quickly into editing programs or put little cute graphics on them. So take, you know, that extra minute to work with what you have. But like you say, then the next level is the press release. So what is the point of the press release? Are you putting on an event? A press release really should ideally be only one page. So again, you have to be very smart with your words. You really want to get people's attention in the first paragraph, otherwise you've lost them. If you're going to be telling the story on your website, you have a little more liberty with words. You can go deeper into the story. You can share several stories or several photos. Quotes are terrific. If you've got, let's say, again, talking about senior cats or a cat with a disability, reach out to a vet and get a great, compelling quote, or reach out to the cat writers and look at our members list. Anybody can look at our members list and see who we are. We've got editors, we've got vets, we've got behaviorists. Reach out to us for a quote or for advice. We're a mentoring organization, and we'd be more than happy to help any rescue and share tips with them.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that great resource. I've just been writing notes myself to take advantage of this. Since you are working with an organization in Miami, Florida, I do have to ask you, what's life like for community cats in Miami?
Well, unfortunately, because Miami is pretty much 24/7 nice weather, we have kitten season pretty much year round. So it's a harder struggle. You know, we really have to make much more of an effort to educate people on a consistent basis. There's a lot of cats that are just dumped on the streets and people don't realize that that's illegal. I mean, it's cruel, but it's also illegal. Miami is also, it's a melting pot. We also have to educate in several languages, not just in English, which I think we tend to forget sometimes that we really need to reach out in as many avenues as we can and in as many ways as we can. You know, educating children, we find that to be extremely important. Kids are great vehicles of information and they'll go home and maybe tell their parents, dispelling myths or stereotypes. You know, we try very hard to do that. So even in everyday conversation with people that you meet and network with, if you can engage them in information and teach them without them realizing it, it's always a good thing to do.
The Cat Writers Association usually has an annual conference. I know you had one several months ago. How many people usually attend it? And do you have one scheduled for next year?
The conferences are relatively small. We call them boutique conferences. So they're usually about 50 people. This year we had close to 100. Every year we're gaining a little more traction. Again, the reason why is we're trying to become more relevant. We were kind of stuck in a rut and now we're realizing, no, we have to evolve with the times. A lot of our sessions are about rescue or about learning how to use Instagram or photography skills. We're even working with sponsors, you know, there's tips and tricks to all of this. So our attendance is increasing every year because we are, again, trying to reach a larger market. And the sponsors are also excited about this because they're realizing that it's a beneficial partnership for all of us. We now have a social media chair. We're trying to just share the wealth. We are excited and very proud of our sponsors and very grateful for what they do for us because they allow us to survive. And if we survive, then we get to help more cats. That's really where we're heading. And next year, our conference will be in partnership with the Cat Fanciers Association, so we'll have an even larger audience to work with. So we're really excited about that.
That's excellent. You said it's usually in the summertime, right? Or late spring, early summer, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah, it's probably next year. It's going to be mid-July.
If folks are interested in finding out more about the Cat Writers Association, where would they find out that information?
You can just go to www.catwriters.com and it's all right there. We also encourage membership. We have professional status as well as associate. Professional status would mean you published a book, perhaps, or you published articles. Professional means at some point you've been paid for work that you've done writing about cats. An associate member would be somebody like we would maybe call a kitten, somebody in training. So we really are encouraging folks of all levels. And again, we are a mentoring organization, so you could start out as an associate and work your way up to a professional. And I would encourage people in rescue. People in rescue write. They take videos. They're on social media. You're probably more of a cat writer than you realize when you're in rescue. And again, the benefits of being a part of the Cat Writers Association, they're really limitless. It's however you want to make best use of the tools that we have.
That sounds great. And I have your blog up on my computer right now. So the website is zzoe.com. Is that the correct place for folks to find your blog?
Yes, that's another thing. When you start out into the world of writing, and this was something, again, that I learned later, not sooner, I just thought, okay, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to be famous. And there we go. You know, Z is one of my cats. Zoe is another. Z and Zoe made sense to me. Well, nowhere in there do you see the word cat. God forbid something happens to Z and Zoe. Be smart about how you title things. Be smart about how you name your blog. Be aware that you want to be as evergreen as you possibly can. My long-winded point to this is, yes, zzoe.com is my website, but it's about so much more than just Z and Zoe. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
So that's where folks would be able to reach out to you, though. It's a beautiful website. Congratulations. It's visually just gorgeous.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I think we've touched on the cat writers quite a bit. We're more than writers, and I encourage everybody to check us out. I also encourage people to volunteer. You'd be surprised. I think a lot of us think of rescue as, oh, I can't work in a shelter. That's too sad. Well, you can volunteer towels. You can volunteer money. You can volunteer your voice. You can write articles. Even sharing somebody else's post on social media, you might not think it's a big deal, but to the person who wrote the post, the more shares they get, the bigger the audience is. So even something like that, take the time to share. The other thing, we didn't really talk about it, one of the books that I wrote, Making Biscuits, the one that won 3 awards, that book is really very important to me because, first of all, it's endorsed by Dr. Marty Becker of Fear Free Homes, so I'm very, very proud of that. But it takes the everyday crazy little weird habits that our cats have, and I share all these great humorous stories, but after sharing the humorous stories, I explain why cats actually have the habits that they have. By doing that, I then share tips and tricks to improve your relationship with your cat or improve their home environment or think the way a cat would think with the ultimate goal, number one, avoiding cats being brought to shelters for habits that you could probably easily manage or correct. And number two, to educate people that there really are astounding numbers of cats living on the streets and in shelters and that pet responsibility and spay neuter and TNR and working together as a community to reduce these numbers is critical.
That's excellent. And I will highly encourage folks to check out the books that you have, Making Biscuits. And Dr. Marty Becker was a guest on our show probably over 2 years ago. He's done some fantastic work, The Fear Free. It's tremendously amazing and sort of a leader in my mind from that realm. So that's great. I'm so glad he enjoyed your book. And thank you for writing that book. That's fantastic. So I'm going to encourage listeners to pick up a copy. I'll get a copy myself. That's for sure.
And it educates through entertainment, which I think sometimes holds people's attention a little bit better. It's a fun read. You really enjoy it.
Well, Deb, I want to thank you so much for spending time with me today and for agreeing to be a guest on my show. And I hope we'll have you on again in the future, maybe before the next conference.
I hope you'll be at the next conference so we can hand you any awards you might win in person.
thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Community Cats podcast. I would really appreciate it if you would go to iTunes, leave a review of the show. It will help spread the word to help more community cats.